Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anybody. All right, welcome back to another episode of Cropod as we travel back in time to the mid-90s. And joining me is David Edgar. Hi, David.
I think the only thing that could have made the Rangers match more mid-90s was if I still had hair, was out in a club at 4 in the morning trying to pick up a partner for some horizontal jogging, and was drinking Sunny Delight while listening to the Bruce Hornsby cover that Tupac did.
And Todd Van Allen's here. Hi, Todd.
Hi. Well, if this was the mid-90s, I would have been standing around at the Duke of Gloucester, where the Toronto club was at that point, and probably on my fourth or fifth pint, and just turning to Jack or Gary and saying, I took a half day for this. That I did. I took a half day. Great. And then I'd go home and sleep. That would have been my match day experience. Just
sleeping was a match day experience for the Rangers team last night in Belgium. So, you know,
that first 20 minutes. You went,
it's fine, yeah.
Whoa, here we go. This is it. This is in the bag. What's up? And then it was gone.
70 minutes of complete and utter nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just a terrible, dismal away performance in Europe. I know that we'll moan. We'll all of them moan.
Sorry. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss my chance to bitch.
No, you can.
Oh, no, we're talking about cake now.
Yeah, we can.
The band?
They're going the distance, actually. Dessert. I fear we're not. I think it's fair to say on that one.
It's nice of Gio, though, to accommodate us in knowing that, look, doing a show on Tuesday is part of the routine. And Thursdays just work for us better.
Thursday's better. I mean, that's true. And the theme music is better, but it's
not quite as good. But
quite as good. But we were horrendous. We were just shite. Manager got tactics wrong, and then this was the absolute 90s in Europe Rangers clusterfuck. Manager got the tactics wrong, and the players then executed those wrong tactics badly.
Yeah. I'm not convinced three holding midfielders was the way to go.
No. it started out like in that first 10 minutes, I went, oh, we had Livy to practice on because it looked exactly the same for the opening.
Yeah, I mean, the second pressuring stuff. Yeah.
And then
Malik Tillman was just running the earth there for about 25 minutes.
And I then never,
he kind of got tired.
I never ever want to see Malik Tillman out in the left while Glenn Kamara's where Malik Tillman should be.
Exactly.
Again. But it was just horrific. And then even so, look, we're Rangers fans, and one of the things that marks us out from the lower orders is that we take the blame for our own failings. In fact, sometimes we invent failings that aren't really there. Right? we can sometimes go the other way. But last night, it was never, ever, ever a penalty. The rules state it was a penalty.
And yeah, I really didn't get that one at all. Yeah,
the rules are in the IFAB site say if it deflects off someone near you and hits you in the hand, it's not a penalty. So,
the video itself, the VAR official was the one clearly pushing for it because it wasn't called on the pitch. And the video was not clear enough. By it's kind of the same thing that we have in all the sports over here, right? It's supposed to be like incontrovertible evidence. I mean, the one video from behind the goal, it looked like it could have come off his shoulder, and the other one you couldn't see the point of contact because he was shielded by a player. So
I wasn't sure it hit his arm. I think there was
no. I'm not convinced it did.
Yeah. So for all the people looking forward to VAR coming to Scotland, here you go.
Yeah,
months of this.
Don't forget, what have I said forever? VAR only works if the officials are good, and we do not have competent officials. So you put in, these kind of things into a broken system, you get broken outcomes.
And also, though, the VAR didn't work in the first half. They fixed it at halftime. So how does that work? Because we had a penalty shout that we couldn't have a look at VAR.
Yeah.
That's
the thing. See, I don't like that. If you start the game without it, then you play the game without it.
Play the game without it. It's like
the SPFL trying to bring it in mid-season last year. Like, no, you can't. I mean, obviously, they change the rules of the competition all the fucking time.
Right.
But you really shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So bad. Everything about yesterday was bad. The only, it was the first match back at the pub, and we had some people down. We were all there. We were enjoying it for a bit, and then their first goal, which was a clusterfuck of defense and John McLaughlin belly flopping on top of the ball. Mm-hmm. Nobody came out of that one looking good. And then the penalty situation. I don't know. It sucked all the air out right there.
Yeah,
that was it. And
it could have got worse.
It easily could have. Yeah, pretty much so.
Did anyone notice that Rangers are not 3-0 down in this tie because in the last minute at a corner kick? Oh, what was that? That appeared to be a man on the post.
Yeah.
Did you see what he did?
Concept.
Yeah.
Again, welcome back to the mid-90s where you put your fullbacks on the fucking posts.
Yes.
And that way, when you lose the header, then they clear it off the line, as Tav did, since time immemorial, as opposed to they don't do that and you're 3-0 down. So I got a wee bit of validation, but it was cold comfort. just a shambles of a performance. And sometimes I wonder, and this might be outrageous, and listeners I'm sure will tell me, but I sometimes wonder if this carrot of a guarantee, because you can lose and you're still going to get group stage football, and they knew that before the bot. Yep. I'm not sure. Obviously, the players want to play in the Champions League, and obviously they don't go out and go, we'll half-arse it tonight. But I do wonder if subconsciously you do relax that little bit, because it's not all or nothing. I mean, I saw somebody say next week is make or break for Rangers, but it's not, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, I suppose, because there is this, this route. And I don't know. All I know is last night was an absolute shambles. Quite painful. And if we're going to bring back things from the 90s, let's bring back good things from the 90s. Like
troubles in
not just in football. What could we get back from the 90s? It was better.
Apparently Green Day played a very good set at Lollapalooza the other day. Relying mostly on older material.
That's the 90s. So, Green Day at Lollapalooza might well be the most.
Yeah, how much more 1990s could you get there?
Cannot get more. we could bring back all the cool stuff, sort of dialing attempt 1 of 5 when you're trying to log on to the internet. That would be pretty cool. And then being thrown off the internet because your mum picked up the house phone.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
We could give kids that have never seen one like a rotary phone.
Yes.
Yeah. That would fill up a couple hours.
Yeah.
Oh, kids, listen
from
to
the
this
app, that one.
See, when you were trying to phone a date, right, back in the day, and the horror when our dad picked up. The absolute nightmare.
And you couldn't hang up because he just star 6-9 you.
Yeah. Exactly.
You had to ask for his daughter, and you knew, and he knew what your end game was in all of this.
Right.
Because he had been through the same thing, of course, 20 years previously.
Right.
So the abject. Also, you could afford the electricity without having to sell a kidney, which was nice back then.
Mm-hmm. The also like the, in, when you're doing sort of that first relationship in high school, like your first girlfriend ever, and you're just so over the goddamn moon, and you got the rotary phone there. Says, okay, I'll call you at 7 tonight, and you're like, okay, I'll call you at 7, and then like, you know, it's 6:45, and you're like sitting by the phone, like, ooh, I better check to see if there's still dial tone just in case phones went down. He's like, yep. Oh, what's he trying to call? Shit!
Hang up the phone. She could be trying to call right now.
Exactly.
And just setting their wish.
This is a Friends episode, by the way. We just did it better and in like a minute and a half. So
it's also, I think, the first Kids in the Hall sketch where the two girls pick up the phone at the same time. Yeah,
don't take this the wrong way, lads, but in terms of wanting to shag the people on a show, Friends is way, way further ahead than Crowpod, and I include the men in that. If I'm doing a running order here of, you know, the order in which I fancy all of us, here sort of is how I'd go. I'd go Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Joey, Chandler, Ross, me, you two.
Okay. Wait, and at the same time?
Wait. What about the monkey?
Todd, I'm beginning to get really worried about you over the last few weeks because there's some stuff creeping in here. I think you've got comfortable, and I think we're beginning to see a dark side of you that we hadn't known about. I think you know the last couple of years you've been sitting there sort of like, right, okay, don't mention the monkey fucking. now you've got your foot on the monitor and you're rocking out with the bass solo.
Exactly.
Good God. You know, I will say there was one thing yesterday that made me feel good, which is the thought of Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos back where they belong with Tillman playing behind them.
Yes.
Or Kent in the middle with Tillman on the left. Either one will work for me just fine.
Right.
That gave me a warm feeling at one point where everything felt cold and dead inside.
That is one of the shining moments. Like if you have to, if you're digging through the turd to find a pearl, it is seeing what Tillman brings to the side right now.
He's good.
Like
he was
the only thing that stood out yesterday of like, oh, we've got something here. Like he went from kind of an unknown commodity to now we want to play him every day.
He'll do.
Look, most of the players that will come in will do for again. Your younger listeners, in the 90s, this was so common. We'd sign a few players in summer, get really excited. We'd then get knocked out of Europe by some diddy side. And back then, when you get knocked out, you were out. Okay? That was you. You were fucked.
Right? Yes.
All over. No more Euro adventures after the first one.
No.
Right? You didn't get to keep
losing your way into other tournaments.
No, you were done.
Depends on stay at Bucharest.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was it. You were out. Forget it. Levski, Sofia, Kaunas, right? You were done. Hope you enjoyed your trips last year because you ain't getting any this year, right?
Yeah. Did you notice the other fixtures yesterday? There were like a who's who of who's knocked us out of Europe.
Yeah. To be honest, they are most shields, unfortunately. Yes.
Malmo, I remember you. I remember the one where there was screaming in the bushes. I remember you.
Yeah. And there were, you know, grasshoppers pop up from it will always be a very painful list to look at. But I think that we do this thing, the new players arrive and you're all excited, and then after the first couple of matches they are shite. Complete and utter shite. They should be, and then slowly they begin to you know, settle in, and some of them are really good and some of them are all right and some of them are not very good, as always happens every year in year. But this year has broken the record for the earliest that someone has told me that it's my fault because I don't ask hard questions at the press conference.
Didn't that happen before kickoff at Livingston? I
mean, this one was last. And somebody said to me, and God love, right, because I get, you know, you're angry after the match, but somebody said, you need to tell the manager. And I was like, guys, right, I can't explain. It is not that they don't invite me in for a chat, right? You're not allowed, and they will cut you off and stop you if you go, it's more of a comment than a question, actually. Gio,
Hugh, if you wouldn't mind, I'm gonna make my comment and then hang up and listen.
Were you at the game caller?
If you attempt in a press conference to say, That was shite. You are a humiliation and embarrassment to the club. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Shut, I'm not finished talking yet. Sit the fuck down, Van Bronckhorst. Right? You talk. Lips moving, me talking. Right? That's right. You don't actually do that. It doesn't work like that. And the other one I couldn't quite get is people getting on to me last night, and there were two or three. Like, oh, I bet you won't ask him this after the match. Like, well, no, I'm not in Belgium, mate. You could address your question to the people who will interview him after the match.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a better route to go down. Or you could shout at me if it makes you feel any better. And, you know, one guy was being a complete dick, so I blocked him. Right, life's too fucking short on Twitter. And he then went to my private account. You know, well, not private, but, you know, my...
David A. Anger 23 account?
Yeah, it's not my private account, but my personal one. In which
your Watergate account.
the Watergate Muppets account, yes.
Yes.
Right. He said, why did you block me? And I said, well, you were being a dick to me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know, I was just upset. And I was like, and I give a fuck about that. Why?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, mate, but if somebody in a bad mood or who's had a couple of drinks acts like a tit to you, do you not block them? And he's like, well, yeah. I said, well, then, fuck off. end of story. It's just, but yeah, I get it. People are upset, and that's fine. But, you know, keep it respectful. I would do the same to you, unless you're a Celtic fan, in which case, no, and you can be as disrespectful to me as you like, because mm-hmm. I don't like you and you don't like me. And, you know, we have that. But if you're supposed to be supporting the same team, then don't take it out on somebody.
I had that, and I have to post it today. I haven't had a chance yet. But the comment cards at the comedy club last week indicated that someone did not enjoy my jokes about the Freedom Convoy. Boy, oh boy. But here's the thing, too. Like, you rate everything out of 5. And so, like, he gave service, 5, food, 5, headliner, 5. And then he gets to me and he went 2.5 with commentary. I'm like, he didn't even fucking fail me. I still got a pass. So that tells me the jokes are all right, you dick.
50%? So. I would take that. Yeah. I got by in life on 50% energy, effort, movement. Yeah. You know, there was a great tweet actually this week on about introduce yourself with comments that your a school teacher said about you. And the girls were like, hi, I'm Jess, I'm easily distracted.
Yes, yes.
And I said, mine's where a memorable one from a teacher. Hi, I'm David, and I can't keep relying on my ability to talk my way out of trouble.
Oh man,
I'm Todd, and what was it? It was really, really should focus on other things other than jokes.
I mean, look, I failed because my assistant year head, right, assistant head teacher, he was a great guy, right, and he was pretty cool, and he kind of was long suffering with me, and he knew. Like, one time I got sent to see him by a teacher who was a bit of a nutter, and I walked in and he went, what now? I said, we've been sent here by you know, Miss, I won't name her, but sent here by, but one of those, you know, 50 year old slightly mental spinster type teachers,
purple hair and whatnot.
And
one of my least favorite Jimi Hendrix songs.
Yes. That Prince movie that didn't take off. I walk in.
Wash yourselves in the waters of Lake Minnetonka, David.
he sighs and goes, what now? I says, oh, it's her. And he went, oh, is it Miss whatever? I said, yeah. And he said, you've got to stop winding her up. I said, she's a nutter. And he went, I know she's a nutter. You know she's a nutter. Stop winding her up. And therefore, me and you can save having to do this on a daily basis. So he was a really good guy. But he said to me at one point, because we had this thing in Scotland, but we still do, which you have your exams at the end of the year, obviously. And that's when you get your qualifications. But in December, you have, we call them prelims, mocks, I suppose, is the thing. Yeah. And the reason you have them is if anything happens, say illness or whatever, or you fail because the pressure gets to you at your finals, they can appeal and they can say, well, look, here is evidence that this student actually, you know, does deserve a higher mark. So I swerved on it. I just didn't show up for them, right? Just completely didn't study, didn't go. And gets called in. David, you didn't attend any prelims? No. Why not? Why bother? They don't mean anything. He said, well, you know, if you have an appeal or whatever. He said, what happens if you fail your exams? And I just looked at him and went, I won't. And he's like,
yeah.
He said, you are an arrogant little bastard. And I said, but I said, I won't. Will I? And he goes, well, no, you probably won't. But what happens if you get hit by a bus? And I said, well, I'd have a lot fucking more to worry about. A lot more to worry about then, surely, than whether or not I pass modern studies. So, but he was a great guy, and he passed away, and I went to his funeral. He was a genuinely one of those teachers that you just genuinely loved. And I was speaking to his son, who's a great, great guy. And I said to him, afterwards, I said, he was always really, really good with me. And he said, yeah, he liked you. He said, he'll be fine in life, he said, because he'll be able to talk his way out of trouble. And he goes, I feel so bad because there are some kids out there that are so hard working. And he said, and he's just one of those guys that could walk through a battlefield and the bullet would hit off him and deflect into one of their chests.
Right.
And he's probably right, to be fair.
I mean, I have one teacher that I still stay in contact with from high school and everything, and he's—I mean, to this day, if you—it's basically like talking to another parent. It's, you know, if you ever applied yourself, it's like, what are you talking about? I had a good career for a decade and a half, and then I got sick of that and decided to do something else. I think I've done. No, I'm not rich, but come on, we can't all be David, you know?
Yeah.
No, I look, but then again, we were talking about this. There was a thread on Follow, right, about what's your flex, which I believe is a modern term for what are you good at.
Yeah,
and right. I was on it and I just said, well, nothing. And they were, what do you mean? And I said, no, literally, I'm not good. I'm really, and I don't mean that. I said, I'm not being, you know, you guys know me, listeners know me. I am not falsely modest ever. Right. You know that phrase, I don't want to toot my own horn? I've got a fucking brass section that live in my house. I occasionally
76 trombones. Yeah,
I occasionally walk up to and go, give me a blast, boys! Right.
See a bouncy sea.
It's not something I do, but I was like, no, I just, yeah, I'm an average person, and it's fine. Like, I'm 5'10". I'm not, you know, fat. I don't have any hair, and I don't think I'm offensively ugly, but nor am I handsome. And I said, but I can't play guitar well. I can sing all right, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to turn heads with it. I can carry a tune, but that's about it. I can't draw. And I'd love to be able to draw.
I can't draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. See, you know, I did graphic design for so long, but I can't, like, people would look at my notebooks, like when I was sketching stuff out, and then, you know,
right.
Like, God, did we hire the right guy? Like, at the end, I promise.
That's better than me, though. I mean, I can't even sit and do it. If I go to sketch something, it always ends up resembling a tree.
Yeah.
Right? No,
there's a reason in high school I took photography.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm sitting here going, I cannot draw and I need an art credit. Wait, I can point this magic box at something and it will, and it was it's not magic, and you'll find out why when you're standing, you know, in, you know, running lukewarm water over your hands for 3 hours in the fucking pitch black, yeah, hoping that you don't ruin your entire thing of film. Just did you guys ever have to do that, like develop your own?
Yeah.
Well, no, she's a photographer, so she has, but that's not okay. No.
I got, you know, me saying that sometimes I can get lucky with things like this. I was the same as you, Todd, couldn't draw. And in fact, my art teacher at the end of second year, where you have to pick your subjects for third and fourth year, says, David's not going to pick art, and I'm very glad. It's not his forte, and I've always been the type that if I can't do something pretty much at the start, then I stop. I have no interest in it, right? Like, oh, not for me. But I took photography, same as you, Todd, getting art class. But then I had an allergy with the darkroom chemicals.
So
that then meant I couldn't do that. So they gave me a pass, and I didn't have to take
your
class. Developer,
your stop bath, your fixer. What'd you do? Yeah. What was it?
Well, it gave me an eye infection. So
holy shit!
Yeah, so
you're not supposed to use your face, eh?
No, but just being in the room, just being in the dark. It was a shame because I actually did enjoy it, but they gave me a pass and just said, right, you don't need to do that class anymore.
See if you notice what's happening. The point where David actually has to do physical labor. is the point where it causes him extreme allergic discomfort. Like,
I was working this out. I have done in my life, someone once asked me this, I have done 1 3-hour day of labor when my uncle, who's a builder, hired me to do some work during the school holidays, and after 3 hours I sacked it off, and that is the only time in my life I have performed any sort.
I mean, like, I poured concrete for a summer, framed houses.
I worked in a restaurant / gas bar that was on the 401. For the Canadians of a certain vintage, you will know when I say the Voyageur line of restaurants, where you could pull over and have a full meal. It wasn't like there was takeout and stuff like that, but this was more like pull off the high. This is like 1950s, 60s. Dad has a pipe, you know, getting off the road. Well, let's enjoy a nice wholesome meal with the family. Like, it'd you be get like in
the,
there,
the Howard Johnson restaurants down here.
Exactly. And it was like this red kind of a teepee shaped hat on top of the restaurant, so you could see them. And I
feel like I went to one in Thunder Bay.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah,
okay. they were owned by Esso as well, so there was a combination gas and gas because it was all fucking fried food. So I worked my way up from dishwasher to, like, the only job I didn't do over the course of my high school tenure there was running the place, because I did gas bar, I did cooking, I did waiting on tables, and this was one of my favorite moments. And it was a clash of my existence of God and meeting people of other faith. And it was, so keep this in mind, it's Gananoque, it's a summer, it's mid-80s, right? And Todd's working the takeout, you know, and my job was to run this entire thing. So I had to cook, I dished out ice cream, I had to, you know, ring up the till, like, it was like running your own little restaurant. And it was like, you know, so I was like this little artery kind of off to the side. And so one day I'm just busy. I'm just rocking out the food and ringing up the thing. And the kids want ice cream and just scooping that out. And this family comes in and goes, "Are your hot dogs all beef?"
No, of course the fucking not.
And I went, "I assume so."
Yeah.
You know,
same answer.
Yeah, and I assume so. She's like, "Yes, because our religion doesn't allow us to eat pork." And so this is.
Well, I'm sorry, don't they specifically need a kosher hot dog in that case?
Yeah, so it's good that you went that way. That's exactly what it was. I went, congratulations, Todd, these are your first Jews you've never met. There's no synagogue in Gananoque. We just, you know, people older than me had always mentioned that these people were running the media, and I went, oh, they look pretty savvy. So I went, I believe they are. Having done zero research and whatever, right?
They could be.
Your guess is as good as mine. I wasn't saying this, but it was like, I didn't want to lose the sale. I'm like, yes, I'm pretty sure there. And she didn't ask me to follow up. Like, you know, now there would be like a litany of, I want to see you go to the back. I want to see you.
See, these are people just seeking affirmation for whatever the fuck they're about to put in their
exactly.
Yeah, they don't care what the answer is. Because they know what the answer is.
Like today, I would have to take a picture of it and then show it on my phone. And just, but they just went, I think they were just hungry and wanted a hot dog. And so it was like, I was more than happy to provide that for it.
Look, anyone who is prepared to eat a hot dog at any time is taking their own. There's a great bit in Red Dwarf where they're in a ship that contains the worst things in the world, and he's going through it, and it's like, you know, bad CDs and stuff, and he went, cinema hot dogs.
Yes. Yeah. So I give them the hot dogs, and everything's fine, and this is where I'm biking
and then they
home.
Catch on fire, and their souls go to hell.
Well, no, that was the thing. I was like, wait a second, what if these aren't? And I didn't want to look just in case I'm wrong. So I'm like, to this day, I honestly don't know. I'd never looked.
Yeah, but you know the day.
And I sat there and I went, well, this is a question of their faith, because they have faith in, you know, in the practice of their religion, but they also have faith in me. So what they've done is like as far as I'm concerned, I could lawyer this in front of God and I would have no problem. It's like their faith in me allowed them to have this hot dog. It's not like they're going to be sitting there at the gates of hell going, why the fuck are we down here? Go, you remember that hot dog? That fucking kid. Jesus Christ, I'm going to murder him. It's like, he'll be down in 20 minutes. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's you know, providential that they had that hot dog, you would assume. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could get into an interesting discussion on predestination, predetermination, the whole Calvinist thing. We could do that today. We're probably not going to. I'm not going to lie. But right. See, that's a fundamental difference between the UK and North America, Canada, right? I remember being blown away the first time. My friend Ross, his wife is American, and she was over here. They met when she was over here studying, because we have proper universities, Shane. Proper universities, you have to get in on merit as opposed to having a lot of money. But I went to Yale, and what's your degree in? Mickey Mouse is changing pants. Yeah, very good, mate.
I didn't quite make it into Yale, David. I'm sorry.
Right. Well,
more to the point, I throw a ball good.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I run about a bit.
Yeah.
The Kenny Miller degree. So, yeah. we went to a restaurant, well, right?
University's mid-flow then, that's okay.
Yeah, we went to a restaurant in Scotland, and menu comes, and the waiter comes over, and he says, hi guys, what do you like? And I said, could I have the this? And someone else said, could I have the that? And it went to Hart, and she went, could I have this, but could you remove that, add some of this, take away this, add a third thing that is this, nip out and get this, go for a walk, come back, do a wee dance, and then deliver the thing to me. And we're all looking just mortified, going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm ordering it the way I like it. Like, that's not how this works!
No.
I have a strong dislike for people who order off menus.
Like, unless what's on the plate is going to kill you. Then yeah, absolutely.
In which case, you probably shouldn't be eating here. Like,
rice. Yes.
You know? I honestly don't mind. Could you give me the sandwich without mayo, for example? Right.
Fine. Yes,
that's
a fine.
Perfectly
or
normal request.
On the side or fucking whatever. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But could you take this thing that vaguely contains some of the ingredients in the thing I actually want? And then complete. No, you can't.
Yeah.
And this is again the fun. In America, they'll do it because they take customer service seriously. Well, in the UK, they will go no.
See, I will go no, and I try to trade. But you know, we always get like servers or bartenders like, oh, so and so has been coming here, and they always order this. It's like yes, because you always let them
order
it. Yeah. I would like the Reuben sandwich, but instead of the pastrami and the sauerkraut and the Russian dressing, I would like a bolognese. And instead of the rye bread, could you make it fettuccine?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like going into McDonald's and say, can I have the cheeseburger, but could you hold the cheese, the burger, the bun, and get me something from a better restaurant?
Yeah. I'll have a Whopper.
You don't, but this is a strange thing about, I don't know, and it is maybe a class thing, right? You know, growing up working class, that it did take me years to overcome that sense of, you know, just being intimidated in posh places, you know, restaurants and shops. And you get to a certain age, thankfully, and the confidence kicks in, where you go, no, hang on a fucking minute. And I will say this for my wife, Sally, who was in a shop one time. She was in a clothes shop, and she asked about something. It was one of these horrendously trendy clothes stores, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody had the nose ring and the hair just so. And it was one of these places. And Sally said, oh, listen, I've got a question about this. And the girl basically sort of sneered an answer. And Sally, to her eternal credit, who is posh and therefore has that confidence, looked at her and said, you know, you work in a shop. And it was just the most wonderful put down that I've ever heard. Right? But she has that confidence. And that is kind of why we're together. Because one person in this relationship has to be able to send back food, and it sure as shit ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think part of the problem over here is so many people have seen the 2 minutes of Five Easy Pieces, and then they think that they're that person, the fucking diner.
Right.
And it's like, that's not really how it. No. I'd like a plain omelet, no potatoes on the plate, a cup of coffee, and a side order of wheat toast.
Right.
When Harry met Sally. She does that, and it's like, and as I say, that just totally blows our mind over here, because over here you get what you're fucking given and like it. Yeah. And that might explain why we're a lot less shooty. Because as a as a nation, you know, we are a lot less likely to. I mean, we've had one rebellion, right, in 2022 years. We've had one right, and even then we changed it all back after 10 years. Right. That was
like, that didn't work. So.
But look, we maybe made an error with the whole getting rid of the king thing. So why don't we get his boy back? Let's just put it all back to where it was.
We had one rebellion and immediately returned everything to how it was before. Two, right. We just called it something different.
Yeah. So. The if you want to ever hit record on my wife's and mine dinner conversation when we go out, it is this. How's yours? Ugh, it's a little overcooked. Really? How about the pasta? It totally needs seasoning. Really? Well, what do you think? I'm Italian. I get you. Let me try. Oh, you're right. That needs salt. Waiter comes in. How is everything? Fucking fantastic. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Love
Thank
it.
You.
I'd also like to have the confidence that when the waiter comes over, you know, they deliver your food, right? And you sit down and you take out the knife and fork and you, you know, you get ready and you start cutting a bit of meat and they come over and go, how is everything? Well, I have no fucking idea yet.
Yeah. How are first bites? Yeah. Haven't had it.
You know? No, well, no, that's what like, it's in your mouth. Good.
My wife and I, we actually got punished for sending a plate back because, and it was a fine punishment. We went to, it was this restaurant in DC that did a pairing menu, like 7 courses. With different beers. So we're like, okay, that'll be kind of fun. And plate hits the table. My wife looks down and just looks at the waiter and went, I'm sorry, there's a hair on this. And sure enough, there was a fucking huge hair. And she's and the waiter's like, whoops, my bad. And so he goes away, takes it away. Takes away mine because I want to eat at the same time with my wife. I'm completely validated with that. It's like, yeah, I'll keep yours warm and then we'll do that. So they bring it back hairless this time. So like, you know. And but then we were already starting to get full. They threw in 2 more courses to really fucking punch us in the face. It was
that's not they were trying at least, right?
As they were. I love the apology. Is like I don't know what I would have wanted, but I didn't think more food was the answer.
No, extra food is. But then you are. They maybe thought you were American. And just assume all food. I know your wife's Italian, but she maybe thought, you know, he's American. So just
They're obviously from Jersey with these accents. Oh, fuck, bud. Yeah, there's a fucking hair in my fucking soup there, bud.
You don't sound like that unless you want to.
Exactly.
So, I'm trying to
think. I could probably count on one hand the number of times I've sent something back. And it's either been the meal was way too expensive for me to not get what I fucking ordered. Right. Or... there was like what we got some French toast or something for the boy and like it had a creme fraiche on it and it was not quite so fresh. I pointed out and like the chef comes out, he's like, oh no, you know, it's supposed to smell like that. I was like, it's off. Like I get I know how creme fraiche is supposed to smell, man. Mm-hmm. Like I do this stuff for a living too.
This is how different you are, right? Yeah. I ordered like the burger once and I got like the chicken Caesar wrap, and you know, my girlfriend at the time was like, that's not what you ordered. We're like, it's fine.
No, my view, I'm the same as you. I'll just sit and go, no, I won't bother, and we just won't come back here, right? Yeah, and that's always been my take on it. It's a bad meal, I'll write it off to experience. There is a great, you know, you're going to like this one. you are going to like this one. You know the famous Bon Viveur movie director and all-round big fat arsehole Michael Winner?
Yes.
No.
Right, you don't.
Who's this guy?
Director of Death Wish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you would know him if you see him. Big sort of English guy with
famously got on well with Jimmy Page. That's
This guy. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, okay.
He was also a restaurant critic in the UK, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a column for years in upmarket newspapers called Winners Dinners. See what they did there?
I hate him already.
Well, there you go. Now, Winners Dinners has become a term in catering for masturbating into food.
Winners Chicken Dinners.
Because That's what restaurant staff did whenever they saw him arrive in the restaurant. And Viz one time ran a thing where they said, we've got a pound for every restaurant worker that writes in to us and tells us an experience of this. And then the following month he said, we've had to cap this at 200. And so there were all sorts of people were saying that, you know, he came in, so not only did I masturbate into soup, so did the sous chef and two porters. But my favourite one of it is, he said, one time he arrived in the restaurant and we were so busy that we didn't have time to masturbate in his soup. And he sent it back saying it tasted funny. That's another reason, I suppose, why I won't send back food.
The worst thing I will do if you're a dick about it at my I'll take it back there. Maybe, you know, forget to tell the chef to make you another dish for like 20 minutes, and then, you know, come back. Like, mm-hmm. you know, don't just I. It's very much an American thing that the privilege or whatever the fuck is wrong with it's like the people worried that Brett Kavanaugh can't enjoy a steak dinner. You know, in private, mm-hmm. it's like, well, wait a second. He just walked into women's bedrooms all across the country and took away their right to privacy. So why the fuck does he have one at Ruth's Chris?
Like, exactly.
Fuck
exactly.
Him. Yeah. No. I just always say people who are unnecessarily rude to.
Oh no! If you're rude to people in the service industry, you're a horrible person. If you don't tip, if you're a dick, if you're like, mm-hmm. I will immediately return all that to you.
Yeah,
in spades. And trust me, I'm a lot better at it because I work in this industry. It's like heckling a comedian. You know, it's the same. It's the same shit. I can make your night hell. I can make your mm-hmm. first date either the best one that you're ever going to have or the worst one that you're ever going to have. So
I've got a comedy question for you, Todd.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. There's a thing over here. Now, I will admit to a little bias here, right? Because it's irritating Scotch comic Frankie Boyle, who I dislike intensely, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's about as funny as a skin lesion. And I also think he's a massive hypocrite because he made his career being the kind of shocky edgelord type, right?
Right.
But then he's become very, you know, the darling of the oh no, I would never, you've got to punch up, you know, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, while you might agree with the sentiment, I'm like, have you heard your act? Right. So he did a joke about raping.
A good subject.
Yeah.
Well, raping a British TV presenter. Yes. And when he got called on it, he said, it's part of a longer routine. And I'm not doing that to target her or to do a rape joke. I'm talking about the jokes themselves as a concept. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, hang on a minute here. Ricky Gervais, who does genuinely do that, right? Mm-hmm. Who does kind of hold this stuff up. You said was lazy and a terrible comic, right? And you had a go at him publicly. Mm-hmm. But when you do it, it's absolutely fair. And I saw an article today, right? And some people were writing off because it came from like a right-wing newspaper, but it was a very fair article. And what the woman who wrote it said, you know, call me old-fashioned here, but I tend to think a rape joke is a rape joke. Yeah. And you holding a rape joke up to the light to say, look at my rape joke, is mm-hmm. basically a convenient excuse for telling a rape joke.
Yeah.
What's your take as a pro on that?
I've got one. Like I literally have a joke about that bashes guys that do rape jokes, right? And then at the end of it, I have to say, didn't you just do a rape joke, Todd? Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah. Like it's one of the best ones I've ever heard was actually Dana Gould's, where he talks at the beginning of his special, I Know It's Wrong. His first joke to anchor it. I was born on August 12th, 1964, which is exactly 9 months and 2 days after the Kennedy assassination, which should tell you everything you need to know about how my father processes grief. And so he does that joke and says, you can't say that. That's not funny. So you can make jokes about anything. And just to get things off to a good start, I'm going to start the show with an AIDS joke, a rape joke, and a joke about 9/11. And none of those jokes are about the thing they're about. It's a it's a masterclass in comedy writing. And his rape joke is, you know.
No. Let's just not even go there. And
it's about the missiles.
Everyone should contact Todd if they want to hear this.
No, go to the horse's mouth. It's I know it's wrong. Dana Gould special. It's on Amazon.
Yeah, I just don't want cancelled by someone taking something out of context in the show. And right, look, right. That can happen, and I have a bit of sympathy for them.
Sure.
But having heard the joke, it's not out of context. It's just a joke about raping somebody.
You bring up Ricky Gervais, and it's the exact same thing. Like, one of the reasons I've kind of fallen off off with him is that
he's
tired.
He's not funny anymore?
Yeah, there's that. Also, I was hoping to see a comedy special, not a lecture series on why his jokes are funny.
Yeah.
Because there's like.
Yeah, I don't remember George Carlin doing a stand up special explaining the last special.
Right.
No. I remember him just doing new material every fucking
time. The last
person
that did that was Lenny Bruce, who brought his court transcripts on stage. Yeah. And that was as funny as fucking toe fungus.
Yes.
So, yes. No. So, yeah, like you can build the context, and like. The point I make in the rape joke that I've got is that the only reason you're doing a rape joke is because you think you can get away with it, which is not unlike rape itself, right? That's the only reason that you're doing this, and I call that out. But in my heart of hearts, I know I don't do this joke very often because A, it's not that funny, and secondly, it's just like you're making a point to make the point, and I just think
and there are people out there who, you know, think you should be able to say anything you want, and that's fair enough, right? Mm-hmm. But then don't, if you're that guy, and that's a fair enough opinion, right? Not one I agree with, but it's fair enough. Mm-hmm. If you're that guy, then don't lecture other people about what they can and can't say.
Yeah.
I think that's when it starts to get a wee bit, you are cake and eating it here with this kind of thing. Look how, you know, right on and cool I am, but equally look how edgy and dark I am. I don't think the two of them sit comfortably.
Well, I think with Gervais especially, you can see, I don't know if it's the better, he thinks more highly of himself than he did earlier in his career.
And one
of the big things in his, you know, with The Office and with Extras was, look, Fawlty Towers is the funniest show ever. He did two series of six episodes. I can't do anything more than that will ever be better. And now everything is more and more and more and more and more because somehow apparently he's decided he's better than John Cleese, which no.
John Cleese has gone a bit mental in his old age.
He's actually a crotchety old man. Ricky Gervais is still comfortably in middle age and acting like a dick.
Correct.
Yeah, but he likes dogs, so I'm always going to be.
Yeah, right.
After a wee while, I just think it gets, this kind of stuff is a bit boring, and the whole, with me, it's a case of Frankie Boyle's like, I'm attracted to the flame and I want to play with it, but if I get burned, then it's actually the fire's fault.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't think that's a particularly healthy approach.
It's funny you bring this up because I was literally thinking about this the other day, where I was like, the difference between those types of comics and the type of comic that I appreciate and that I wish to be is one that learns from where society is, what we're doing, how we're going about things, and trying my best to be on the right side of the argument, yet still be funny and project that and be inclusive and then, like, you know, have people go. Now you can. Like, if you think about it, you're like, you know, you're hosting a party and, you know, you want everyone to feel comfortable. You got this over here and the vegetarians, they can have that. And it's like, we got vegan dishes here and don't worry about it. It's like, everyone come in and it's a good mix of music. And then some asshole comes in, lights up a cigar and goes, where the fuck are the nachos? And like, you just, who's this asshole? That's that comic. Like, that is that comic. Go, I can say whatever I want. Yeah, but everyone's going to think you're a fucking prick. And it's like, how come no one books me anymore? Because you're a fucking prick. That's why.
That's,
you know?
Well, yeah. Hang on a minute. I need to get the home section ready, lads, because they're going to need to play me a fanfare in a minute. I actually constructed the best joke ever the other day that was so good that I immediately had to go and type it out and send a message to all my friends about how good this joke was. Mm-hmm. Sally, my long-suffering partner, had current partner. She had cleared out some of the
stuff.
That's
a humble brag.
It's just real. Look, see, honestly, and this is going to sound arrogant, I have never, ever had any problem getting dates, right? I haven't. Now, they've all left me, obviously, after a while. But Meeting them, no problem. Keeping them,
you interview well.
Yes, exactly. And then after a while, they begin to realize that the guy who was a bit quieter was probably the better bet. But that's not a humble brag, as in, hey, I'm on the market. It's eventually she will understand and tire of me and come to her senses. But until then, so she had cleared some of the stuff from the garage. And she, or as Mo calls it, a car hole. Mm-hmm. She had booked a chap to come and pick up the rubbish in a van. And she said to me, oh, the guy arrived and she went, oh, look, that's the rubbish guy I booked. And I said, couldn't you have got a good one?
Beautiful.
See?
It's, beautiful. Good job.
And I actually stood up and went, I deserve a high five.
That's it. I'm out.
I am done. And I immediately went and told my friends. It was like, guys, I did this joke. And they all went, that's the best joke. I was like, I know, isn't it? And it just kind of struck me at that point that I'm fucking wasted doing whatever it is I do. Because, you know, that sort of talent, right? And then Frankie Boyle's making millions. Where is the justice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I can come away with art, I mean, it is art. Yeah. Ryan Kent should be looking at a picture of that joke in the Louvre.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking funny that joke was.
And, yeah, I agree. But the problem you're going to run into is because that's a one-liner joke, you're going to need 45 of those.
I don't think I would. I think if you got
Mitch Hedberg's tempo to your routine, maybe you could get by with about 30.
Maybe 30. Yeah. I just don't picture David standing on stage with a bass player behind him going,
don't need a paper trail.
And him going,
donuts.
My wife.
You give me the donut.
I reckon if I told that, the laughter would go on so long that I could say, thanks very much, good night, and then like head out the door. And I think that it's important that we recognise moments like that where we are all in the gutter, as Oscar Wilde says, but some of us are looking at the stars. I touched the face of God with that particular joke. There's no getting away from it. And I like to think that it made it easier for her to accept when she said, could you give me a hand with this? And I said, no, obviously not. I'd like to think that she walked away saying, well, it's, you know, lifting things into a van isn't David's forte. It's that sort of wit is why me and David are together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, scroll down into the show notes, click on the Buy Me a Coffee link. Give us a hand here. We had a bunch of new people help out last week. I still have to get one more thing. I've gotten everything else. And the new microphone seems to be working. And I don't
and your
have
internet, the, even yes. in the rain.
Well, it has dropped out a couple times. I'm just, gracefully dealing with fading back into the stories as they happen. So, I want to apologize to everybody last week. Like, I got an ear infection and then that got worse. Mm-hmm. So, keeping headphones on for a couple hours was out of the question in terms of doing other shows. But
you could rock it like they did in We Are the World, just have like that one cup. I can never do one. Yeah.
But shout out to new supporter Chris McNichol. Again, Bobby Cairns won the drawing last month, and Graham and them at The Famous are finally back in the office this week. So we will get that sorted out. If you want to get entered into the drawing, all you got to do is go to the Buy Me a Coffee link. You can either pitch in like one time or you can sign up to be a supporter. If you want to sponsor the show, there's information for that there too. Shout out, of course, to Erskine Charity, Beetson, the cancer. You guys know where that one is. There's a couple charities still down in the show notes too. If you guys want to help them out, I'm sure that they would gladly accept it. And then we're going to stop here really quick for a commercial because fuck you. That's what I do.
And have your own world. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls.
Honestly, but could you not have got a good one? I mean,
still about this joke. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to need to take a seat. I'm actually overwhelmed.
I got an applause break on a joke that an anti-vaxxer hated. But yeah, you can have your garbage guy.
No, it was just, you know, some moments are there to, it's little things like when you drop your toast, but you catch it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're like, whoa, what about that then? You know, that it's that type of thing where you just you walk about the rest of your day with a real spring in your step.
Let me ask you: is there anything more? It has to be the biggest annoyance in the fucking world to me. Like when your bag gets caught on like one of the long door handles,
or somehow
like a fucking belt loop or something. Like,
yes.
Oh god, I thought you were talking about testicles. Okay,
no.
I see.
No. Like, you know, one of those. Long handily looking door handle things that you can get stuff stuck on, and therefore physics happens and your day is completely fucking ruined.
There is only one thing worse, and that's it happening in public.
Yes.
Let me guess, someone's filming it. I'm going to be a TikTok soon.
Yeah, happened to me on a train a few weeks ago, actually, where I went to get up, my bag caught on the armrest and yanked comedically back about five yards, and it's like, and you have to walk past the people that you've just walked, you know.
Yes. God, we were out running errands on a Saturday, and we stopped at a local restaurant for it was fairly hot. We've been running around for a few hours, so we both wanted like a margarita or something, you know, refreshing that we could enjoy for a little bit and sit in the air conditioning. And I go sit at this bar. So, you know, the hooks under the bar for purses and your coat and whatnot, fine. These were literally attached to the bottom, like the underside of the lip of the bar,
okay,
and hidden from view.
Oh,
so when I had to sit down, I just busted my fucking, and like immediately, of course, thank God we were in the bar section of this restaurant, because children would have learned some new four-letter words quite quickly.
That was my yesterday, I rolled some out.
I'd forgotten. That was impressive.
I found this out about my dog yesterday. I was up in my office and I was just doing something, and I was like, okay, I've got like 85 things I gotta get done today. I don't need anything to fuck this up.
Yeah.
And I just turn like this, and my glass of water spills everywhere on my hands. So out blurts a mother of fucking Christ. And it's like, two things happen. My wife goes, what's wrong? I went, I spilled water on my desk. And now she's mad at me because I have overreacted in her eyes, whereas I haven't, in my eyes, overacted enough. And my dog, whenever he hears me, he hates swearing, apparently, because he will come up with a toy in mouth and his tail wagging, going, everything okay, boss? Everything okay? We all right? I didn't do anything, right? It's not me, right?
Sage will do that, like, what I fuck up.
Yeah.
Fuck something up.
Yeah. And then, then you know what? That actually helps decompress. I'm like, it's okay, buddy. It's not you. It's not you. It's me and my fucking clumsy hands.
We've discussed this before, but there was a tweet that brought this to mind. We should pay someone, by the way, to just sit and take all the bon mots from our show and take them and get huge figures, because this got huge figures, and we discussed.
Well, someone's got to stitch that joke of yours into a pillow.
Funny you should mention that, and just $7.99 on on hateflags.com.
Flags.com, yes.
Right? You can get
your chug mug, get your decorative throw pillow with David's joke on it.
Get your fleshlight flask, and now you can also get a decorative throw pillow. Fleshlight flask. You can, it's all there for you, folks. But, we talked about this about 18 months ago, and someone said rather wonderfully on Twitter, like, I love Victorian English novels.
Because
the way that people speak in them, we might say, oh, he was quite a dull person, whereas they would say, he had the look of the light falling across Middlesex in the evening. He was plain. Sometimes he spoke in a monotone. It was not good. Right. I was explaining to the guys how I used that for, I think it was Rob Newman, but how I used that for trying to explain away disappointments. Like, for instance, when Rangers play the way they did last night. Afterwards, rather than saying, ah, we were shite, we were terrible, we were rubbish, right? What I will do is, fortunate is the man to have an hour to contemplate to contemplate the randomness of sporting events, and a man who could sit and possibly look upon the dynamics as he witnessed the dying of the light of a Champions League campaign, and I motherfuckers were shite, right? Try it. You can use it for anything. You can use it for example, you miss your train, right? Rather than going, oh, I missed your train, just go again, right? Fortunate is the man with an hour to spend perusing the gardens of Glasgow, known as the second city of the empire, and I've missed a motherfucking train.
That is the grammatic equivalent of taking a run when you're stressed out.
Yes.
Like, I have to dedicate some time and energy to blow this off.
Yeah. Somebody said to me last night, it's like you get over bad results quicker than most people do. And I was like, yeah, there's several reasons for that. One is my Victorian self-help guide, $4.99 on hateflags.com. And the other one is I've been taking an awful lot of CBD lately. So
nice.
Yeah, I love this shit, right? CBD, you can buy it over the interwebs, and you don't get high on it or anything.
I can walk to the gas station and buy it. What
are you talking about? That's amazing. You can walk to the gas station and buy it. You can walk to the gas station and buy heroin. It's America, for fuck's sake. Right? I live in a country where they give you fucking paracetamol. You're only allowed 16. That's literally that's all you can buy. No, seriously, they won't sell you two packets of paracetamol in this country. Whereas in America, when I went to the drugstore, which I love, I was
get one free.
I was $400 when I was in Vegas. I went to Walgreens and I fucking filled up.
And as you're at the cash, the manager is leaning to his assistant manager, going, "Go look up the ingredients for meth. Can you just do that?"
Oh, I'm sure if I crush those, but no, I've been taking my CBD stuff to help my back, which it does incidentally.
Yeah, right? No, it's
so
great.
That's good. But you are kind of like really chilled, and so one of the boys. Took it for anxiety, and I said, "How are you finding it?" And he says, "Well, I can't feel my feet, but I'm not anxious." And I thought, gorgeous. "Well, would you have taken that as a trade off at the beginning?" He said, "Yeah, I think so."
Yeah.
Todd, to what you were saying here just a minute ago, Rob had a good question since we're getting to that time here. Anyway, what's an acceptable response to a spouse when your team have been awful? And she has repeatedly invaded your match base to ask about the score, despite all the audio clues that should have been very fucking clear.
So you have to marry well, because my wife, she knows that when I am watching a game at home, the first thing she does before she approaches me is she looks at the top left corner of the screen.
Yeah.
And she knows the abbreviations, and she goes, "Okay, this is fine." Or more importantly, she will go, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want more coffee?" It's like, okay. Yeah. And then it's like, after this, I don't know. I'm kind of with David on this one too. Just on bad results. I don't know when it happened, but I have hit this kind of fatalistic moment where it's just like, what are you going to do?
Obviously May was bad for a couple of days, but the only ones that really get me are, you know, obviously an Old Firm match. Like, just don't talk to me for a couple of days.
Right.
Don't, I'm going to go out in the yard and just create tasks to kill 5 hours at a time. You know, I'm going to dig a hole and then decide that the hole actually needed to be over there. So let me refill this hole and then go dig that hole. You know,
like I just picture your neighbors actually knowing what this means. It's like, you know, he's building this, like, you know, forestry tower in his back so he can survey the neighborhood.
They're making the devil's tower.
Yeah. Well, why is he doing that? And they just go 3-0 loss. Oh, shit.
But then that might be viewed as suspicious, because if you look at maybe somebody like Fred West or John Wayne Gacy, were they telling their neighbours, Fred's football team must have lost. He's digging another hole.
He's got the bags of lye out again. I don't know what the hell's going on.
His team must have lost last night. He's digging another big hole. He's such a man for digging those 6 feet long, 4 feet deep holes, isn't he? Is there Fred?
You know the song, you just brought him up. You know the song, Barbra Streisand? It's a little dance tune. It's got a nice little beat to it, and just it builds and builds and builds. And the only words to it are Barbara Streisand, do 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 do. Barbara Streisand. My buddy Niall Sagan, great comic, was doing shows in Montreal. He had like a month of shows he had to do in French, with a comedian called Sugar Sammy. And what you don't understand about the Quebecois and the French Canadians in Canada is that the second you put up a French comedy show, you are booked for 6 months. Like, you are gone. Like, because they will constantly watch it. Like, just for laughs, the French version of that lasts forever. Like, you get a week of English, and the rest of it is all French. And one of the songs they would play as people were filing into the theater was Barbara Streisand. So him and Sugar, he was telling me this in the green room when we were doing a show together. And he was like, we would find the names of like horrible, horrible people to put instead of Barbara Streisand. Like, it got to him and he just went, Adolf Hitler, do, 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 do. I turned to him and the first one that came to my mind was John Wayne Gacy. Do, 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 do.
Speaking of famous Johns, David got some new music brought to his attention here on his Spotify algorithm the other day.
Ooh. Oh, that's right.
Yes, that's right.
Now, Spotify algorithm's pretty good because what it does is it gives you music that you're into and it gives you things that you're into, as people who use it will know. So it's unlikely, for example, that it's going to provide me new music by, off the top of my head, Mumford & Sons or stuff like that, right? Because it knows I don't really like that. So every week on a Friday, that's when it comes out, Release Radar, they call it, you'll get your new tunes, right? So last week it arrives, and a lot of mine now, because a lot of my artists that I like tend to be... A lot of it's re-releases, you know, these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the day. So I'll just read you through this week's list. Pot Kettle Black.
See what sticks out in here, folks.
Okay. Just see if anything, anything.
If anything just, you know, pops out, just kind of shoots right at you there. You know?
Sure.
Right. So there's Built to Spill. There's the Crips. Yes. There's the Postal Service. There's Wilco. There's Lou Reed. There's John Hinckley Jr. Yep. There's The Beth. There's Archers of... Hang on a minute.
Fucking second. Lou Reed?
Hang on a minute here. And I was looking at it and I'm like, is that that cunt that shot President Reagan?
That is that cunt that shot President Reagan.
And it is indeed.
We had a Crowfile exclusive on this a few months back when we found out he was dropping an album. Here we go.
And it's like, I was just kind of sitting looking at it going, what? And then I realized that it must be Shane Algorithm. Watergate, because I listened to our show on Spotify on Watergate, right? I had that on.
Yeah.
And I was like, the algorithm must be listen to show about president, guy tried to kill president, there you go. And Shane being Shane said, right, I need to know, is it any good? And I put it on, it's actually all right, right? In a kind of Daniel Johnston way, for those of you who like him. It was actually, I would certainly categorize it in the I've heard worse category. But you're sort of like, you know what next? What are we gonna get?
I'd be more bothered if it was a president that I respected at all. So you know,
yeah, I'm so just it's okay not, in that regard. But I'm looking forward to the Lee Harvey Oswald singers.
slightly dead, but
the Leon Czolgosz Appreciation Society.
Yes.
It's like, it just seems a little bit odd of a thing to recommend. But then algorithms can fuck up constantly. Like, I remember when I bought Series 3 of the Mitchell and Webb show, right, on DVD from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And a week later, my algorithm was full of Series 3s of things. Randomly. Would you like to buy Series 3 Downton Abbey, Series 3 Mrs. Brown's Boys? No, of course I fucking wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
I think you've somewhat missed the point of what I was buying there.
Gavin Brittick, he had a big question here for the panel. He wants to know if there's anything more Partick Thistle than this.
No, there isn't. I'll say just before we get started. No, there is not. I've seen this and it is. Yeah, so, I checked if it was a parody. I really did.
I was like, no, that can't be a real check mark. Like, you know, I was thinking it was one of those ones where it's like a number 7 in the circle or something. No. But Thistle tweeted on a Monday. This Saturday, during the halftime break of our game against Hamilton, we will be hosting an educational street theater performance, a collaboration between the University of Glasgow and Surge Theater. The group will perform at Fir Hill before heading to Malawi.
Beautiful. Experimental street theater performance.
Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sake.
Everybody, do.
If Kent's not fit for Killy on Saturday, at least we know where he'll be. I mean,
that's what but not watching, performing.
Right.
You know, if he's out for 6 weeks, it's because he's off to Malawi to. It's just magnificent.
And what's wrong with you, Joey? I'm sad because the planet's broken. Gosh.
I just, you know, good on them, because you've got to lean into cliche, as we were talking about Hibs last week.
Who have doubled down.
Yes.
Good God.
His advertising campaign for season tickets is train spotting this year.
Yes. So they did not learn. They thought the poster was a good idea, and they've hit that moment where they're sitting around the boardroom and the ad guy is going, no, you don't understand. We got to lean in now.
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, are they turning into that skid.
God.
You know, and I get the whole thing about take something that people criticize you for and lean into it. But, right. You know, for instance, are a certain club going to lean into child abuse scandals? No, there are some things that are best not to reference. Yes. And I would certainly say that people all think all our fans are
smack addicts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's probably not. But I also like, and right, my nephew has done a lot of work in Malawi. He's a PhD in water treatment. Okay. And he goes out there quite often.
That doesn't sound as important as community street theater, David. Well, I'm not really sure.
That's what I was going to say. He goes to Malawi a lot to help.
Fucking room, David. Jesus.
Yeah, he goes to Malawi to help build clean water supplies for them, right? Nah. And I can understand, and I think that as a nation, I think Scotland should be proud that we contribute to that, that, you know, we are able to do that. I think that's a good thing. I'm not sure that when people from Malawi were sitting down and saying we could do actually with some aid and some assistance in these certain things, and Scotland was like, hit us, and they said, right, well, we could do with some clean water, no problem at all. We could do with some schools, we really don't have enough schools and books and building, no problem. Healthcare, right, we'll send you a few doctors. Experimental street theater, of course, and that will be the priority. And it's that thing that is simultaneously a nice thing that people who do it should have their faces slapped with a wet fish. That thing of, oh, but their heart's in the right place. Right.
Yeah. I'm picturing the guy who's like walking around with a bucket after his performance and dabbing the show sweat from his brow, and everyone's clinking in a pound or two into the thing, and his phone goes off as he's talking to someone about his next gig, and it just, the phone reads, you know, caller ID Malawi, and he's like, I gotta take this. It's my busy season.
It's my busy season. I've got to take this. It's just, you know, like, and you know they're going to come back and there's going to be an interview in some broadsheet and they say, yeah, it's very important to take experimental street theatre to Malawi. No, it isn't! Right? they don't need that. They have their own culture. It's a perfectly good culture. Mm-hmm. What they need are help with basic human rights. Go with that.
They don't need your Bibles and they don't need your street theatre.
No. Right. Yeah. They don't need our Bibles, they don't need our street theatre, and they don't need us to sell weapons to their dictators in Africa. No.
What,
if you can
need
avoid those
goats
things.
And drinking water. Mm-hmm. And
You cut to Malawi, and there's like these disaffected people just kind of staring at this street performance, talking about, you know, how the disciples, you know, were wonderful people and whatever. And just these two Malawi kids going, are you going to put up with this? Do we have to watch this? And he just hands him a glass of water and goes, no one gets a free lunch, kid. And then off you sip.
Yeah, that's
everything comes at a price.
It's just so fucking white liberal middle class pish, isn't it? It's look what we're doing. We're taking culture to Malawi. Yeah, great, because Africa, no culture there. Famously.
And, you know, let's
you idiot.
Specifically with Malawi, the country that reported the first polio outbreak in the world this year. Yeah, I don't think street theater is fixing that. Although,
no,
go down to us over here in the U.S. with access to all the healthcare in the world, and we have a polio outbreak in New York right now because we're very smart people.
Because of course you do. Shane, you've elected two people that I suspect, your last two presidents, I suspect are both dead. Right. I strongly suspect that we are, for the last, so far, 6 years, I strongly suspect that we've been going through an elongated version of Weekend at Bernie's. That's my take.
It's the aliens from the Simpsons. They're in the suits. Yeah.
I think Donald Trump died several years ago, but he's obviously a popular rallying figure, so they're using him for that. Well, they're using his corpse for that. Joe Biden is quite clearly, he expired round about the same time as FDR. Right. And, they're out there.
How long he's been in the fucking Senate? So.
I go back to, I'm going to have to go back to Dana Gould on this one because I was just listening to his albums this week, and he has this beautiful joke about JFK's brain went missing after the assassination. And it's like, it's rumored that the family took it and buried it, for themselves. But his thought is that when every president after him for about the next 10 or 15 years got elected, they were scurried away to the basement of the CIA and shown this very special chimp. just with this, a scar across his forehead, is like, I don't know how I can afford both the war in Vietnam as well as the nuclear race against the Russians. Well, your problem is you got two major capitals and no expansion of the tax base. Now it's like a swing on that tire.
If you stuck Kennedy's brain into a monkey, what you would have is a monkey that was up on sex charges.
Yeah. Stat in the dress of Maryland down here, stat.
Yeah. I'm in trouble with the law because you're not allowed to do that anymore. And my father is dead and can't pay me out of all the stuff that I've got myself into. So, look, if we're saving a president's brain, it should have been Nixon, right? Because if we could have controlled the evil part, then the man was a genius, right? Oh. I mean, it's been proved this week. It's been proved the last 6 months. He said in 1991 this would happen with Russia, and nobody listened to him just because, and this pisses me off, right? I'm sorry to get on my political high horse here, people. Nobody listened to Richard Nixon because of a third-rate burglary and some dead people in Asia.
Right.
And I just,
if you're interested in either of those, there's a great series available.
Where would you find it?
And I just think that if people want to go,
it's the man was a genius with international affairs, which is what he thought the president should do almost entirely. That was his whole shtick.
Well, I know, but
what he called domestic politics, building outhouses in Peoria
building toilets in Peoria. Look, at the end of the day, what Nixon recognized first, right, is that America's fucked. It's done. Yeah. You had a good go at it, right? 200 years, see how it went badly. And you might as well look, because you guys are just going to amuse yourselves within your borders. Any way that you feel
let's be honest. Since Nixon, we got Carter, and then seven different versions of Ronald Reagan. Basically, is what we've had for presidents.
Yeah.
So
we're building the land of the free. I like being free, not you, freak. Just us.
No, I quite liked Christopher Hitchens' description of American president about why Reagan was so popular. And he said it was because he projected an image of sort of likability. He said and Americans understandably were ready for it.
He was an actor.
No, but he said brilliantly his description. He says Americans were understandably ready for that after they had two psychopaths in Johnson and Nixon and two morons in Ford and Carter, which is harsh but a pretty good summation.
Yeah.
Oh God! I was looking for my Republican asshole.
We haven't done this in ages. You love that peanut farm.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
Love that peanut farm.
They took it from him. I mean, they took his peanut farm.
You people
took it away. That was all he ever wanted, was to take care of that peanut farm.
Would be worth about $200 million now.
$200 million today, easy. No, I couldn't. So obviously, you know, because the way the Supreme Court and Republicans and politics work is that they're insulated from everything in society. So when they do stuff like, say, I don't know, ban abortion, they think instantly that everyone, you know, and their side's going to jump on this. Of course, the problem is that abortion has polled favorably among Republicans for decades now.
Hello, Kansas.
Kansas
right? has entered the chat.
Now, David, when I throw out Kansas to you, what's your first thoughts with that one?
Well, I'm as corny as Kansas in August.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Well, what's my first thought about Kansas, right? Was the buzz.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, right? Where Dorothy, for some reason, doesn't want to live in this amazing, wild, crazy world. She wants to live with her dirt poor auntie and uncle back in a fucking depression-era farm. Yeah. Best of luck with that. I mean,
she did get concussed, let's be fair. So
she deserved to be concussed. I mean, it's like, hang on, right?
She was riding her bike. That's
you could stay here, right? Look at those fucking flying monkeys and a tin man and a lion that can talk. You could stay here. Well, you're in charge, by the way, because you've killed the bad girl and now you're the boss. Or you could fuck off back and live on a diet of 3 potatoes a week for the next 10 years with your dirt poor aunt and uncle who have 4 teeth.
Yeah.
I just think she's made some poor lifestyle choices.
Your image of Kansas probably doesn't differ very much from how you just described it there, I'm assuming.
Ah, right. No. I think Patrick Mahomes now.
Yeah.
But then you told me
he plays in Missouri, but that's okay.
I was going to say, you told me that Kansas City isn't in Kansas, which blew my fucking mind. Surely, I mean,
3/4 of it is in Missouri. Yes.
Surely one of them can sue the other, either Kansas State or Kansas City, and say,
I don't think you want Kansas and Missouri fighting about.
No,
stuff.
After no.
Surely
yes,
doesn't
yes.
go you well.
Are, you are genuinely right. When I think Kansas, I think of the word bleeding. Yes.
So, Kansas, you know, Republicans put this thing right on the ballot right away. They because the way that their legislature set up to be able to do certain things, you need a referendum passed by the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Kansas Republicans immediately throw on the ballot for yesterday's August primaries an amendment that would have allowed the legislature to restrict, I mean, almost completely restrict abortion access in the state,
right?
Guess what got roundly fucking defeated?
Mm-hmm. We have all been there. We have all done that thing. It's like, everyone's going to fucking love this. I am going to be great. And then you hit the punchline and all you hear is.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I think we all come up with really kind of what we think are great ideas. And we're kind of, I tend to find that with me, I am a terrible judge of it. Like, see, for shows, for example, in Heart and Hand, a few years ago, I made a joke on air. I was like, I'll do a show about the presidents, you know, during COVID, because I thought, we've all this time to kill when the matches were off. And it was, and people went, I do that. And it was fucking massive, right? Mm. Whereas we've done these amazing, well-researched, you know, really, like, shows, and they get, like, 7 listeners, and they're sort of like, right, how, what? Me and Shane go, right, we're both obsessed with Watergate. Why don't we do a Watergate show? Now, folks, when Shane and I do a show, right, he works really hard. He takes notes on it. I show up and talk, and people will ask.
And then I have to work for, like, 2.5 hours after we're done putting the show together.
Yeah.
Whereas David people just fucks off to his couch. Plays with his dog.
I get but you know, like
second tier French football, you know.
Exactly, right. No, I watch Watergate documentaries, right? That I've already seen several times. Right, that's what I watch. But you know, somebody said that to me, Shane. I meant to tell you because it made me laugh. They said, "Well, you and Shane are really good. Do you sit and agree beforehand, like when somebody's going to come?" I'm like, no.
So,
in our prep for a show in terms of how the show's going to be structured, as Shane goes, "Right, we're ready," and I go, "Yeah," and we go.
It's pretty much it. Well, it's, you know, it's. I'm sure people know. It's like when we don't do a show for a few weeks here, we miss our cues. But by and large, we don't really walk over each other doing this kind of shit. And with that one, it's easier because there's just two of us. So, you know, we learn how to stay out of each other's way. But yeah, no, David's correct. Like, I come in with, I don't know, 4 or 5 pages of notes all really well put together. And then, of course, I've got to figure out where all the audio is going to go in beforehand so I can cue it up as we're talking about it.
Oh, you're the reason it's good. Yeah. I'm not denying that for a second. You're the reason that the show's good.
Right. David is like Krusty the Clown walking into the recording studio. Okay, let's get this done. Hey, kids, what? Okay, do a rerun. Hey, kids. Okay, that's me. I'm done. Okay, David, we're ready for you. David?
I'm kind of like Krusty when he's walking about after the show and people are coming up to him and he's just saying, it's like Steve Martin says you stole his joke, 10 grand. I've got Jerry Lewis on the other line, 10 grand.
10 grand.
The woman walks up to Krusty and Krusty says, No, I won't do that. No, I can't hear the end of any sentences.
Oh, before we get to the Onion headline of the week, like I said, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link. Please give me a hand because, I still got to get a laptop.
Tell them!
What?
Because they'll be less likely to give you money if you tell them.
Oh, no. I was trying to, because I think this month I'm doing two winners, because I was going to do it like every other month. So if you chip in this month, or like I said, if you go to the members thing on the Buy Me a Coffee thing, there's stuff in there if you want to actually sponsor the show, and we will make you a commercial, own commercial for your company. So you get time to talk about ball shaving, even if, you're like a bespoke law firm or something. We'll make it work.
The ball shaving guys are back again. they've re-upped for and longer this time. I don't know how to say this, David.
I don't know how many times.
No, they sent me they sent me two scripts, and the girl from Playback's like, she said, right, David, this is the script. And I went, Naomi, for 'twas her name. I said, Naomi, I've never once read their script ever in all the ones we've done. You might want to tell them that. And I thought, if she tells them that, they'll say, well, we're not doing it anymore. And she said, right, okay. And she came back and she went, nah, they're not bothered. My loyal audience of, Sean bollocked troubadours out there are keeping them going with the I did actually use the shaver, but not there. I decided to use it on my shoulder here a couple of weeks ago. And it does work pretty well if you're into that, but...
I might as well be honest with people here, because there was a discovery made at the grocery store at the weekend that I'm going to have to spend a shit ton of money on. I think David, you came across it on Twitter there, what I found in the cooler at the local grocers.
It was pretty awesome.
you want to let Todd in? Does Todd know?
Yes, I do not.
No. Right, you tell.
You go ahead.
No, you tell.
No.
I've gone too far now. I feel stupid if you don't do it.
Yeah, you're going to. Or else I'm just going to end the fucking show. That's going to be it.
Well, the reason that I can't, Shane, and I hope that you pick up on this, is that I've forgotten, and I was just being polite.
I found a wonderful citrus fizzy drink.
That was it! Yeah. See, if ever I do that, it's not me being a dick, it's that I don't remember.
It's like last week when you had me tell a story specifically during the show because we were talking about something. This is the kind of shit that happens. We will be talking before the show. David will be like, save that, I've got something about that. And then we'll drop it back in later, and David will just sit there with his thumb up his ass. Like, he has no idea, no frame of reference to this whatsoever. Right.
Take a lot of CBD. And the problem with it is that my short-term memory seems to be damaged, and also my short-term memory seems to be damaged.
So yeah, help me get there, bro. Todd's got to go. Onion headline of the week. Friends make pact to get married if they're both still ugly when they're 40.
Beautiful.
That's where we're going. Todd stuff. You find him on heyitstva.com. Find him on Twitter at heyitstva. Get the hell out of here, Todd.
You got it. I'm done.
Good to see you, buddy. And, of course, David and me will be back with Watergate this week because my ear infection is gone. Me and Todd are also going to try to do a Desert Island show because we kind of need one after the football. I guess, the only benefit is five of the next six matches are at home, right? So, correct. I mean, hopefully we can get it righted. You know, come on. Right. Let's get this season going. David, of course, you find on Everything Hard in Hand, Twitter, Ibrox Rocks, David A. Edgar 23, blah, 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 all that other shit. So, like I said, scroll down. Even if you don't want to help us out, there's a couple charities down there in the links. Give them a little bit of help, and we will be back with more shows. So that's it. See ya.
Some people call me the space cowboy.